Gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Should we say a prayer? Heavenly Father, we ask that as we look at these words of Jesus, as we think about them, that they wouldn't just be on a page in a Bible a long time ago, but that they would be spoken afresh into each of our lives, into our church's life, today, in 2021. That you'd help us to understand and receive this word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're starting a new year, a new series in this teaching from Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're beginning with this teaching about being blessed, or happy is another word we could use, or lucky, as in, oh, what a lucky girl, or you lucky bloke, or fortunate. That's another word that's the equivalent here. Favoured by God. And who doesn't want to be favoured by God and blessed? I certainly do. The surprise here, though, I don't know whether you heard it in the way that it was read, just the people who are blessed by God, according to Jesus. It's the poor, the meek, the pure. A little like the gentleman earlier in the video. We don't normally think of those people being the ones in our world, in our culture, who are blessed, do we? Who do we usually think of as fortunate? As blessed, as, oh wow, they're so lucky. It's usually the shiny people on the front of the magazines, isn't it? Or the people with the perfect social media profile. Goodness me, you wish they had their life, or at least the way they portray their life on social media. It's the fortunate are the film stars, the footballers, the ruthless business people who make a load of money and then live in a big house and have it all their own way. Lucky are those who own bitcoins or Amazon shares in the last year. Happy are those who've already had the vaccine. Blessed are the people who are good cooks in lockdown, or at least live with them. Jesus says, blessed are the poor, the meek, the hungry. If you've got a paper Bible, like I have at the moment, you'll see that Matthew has just been quoting the bits of Isaiah that we focused on at Christmas time. About the people living in darkness seeing a great light. And then he tells us, chapter 4, verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. So the story Matthew is telling is of this person, Jesus, who comes as light from God in the darkness, and then his opening is to call you and me and all his hearers back in, to repent, to come back into the kingdom of God, the people of God that he is forming around himself. And there's an embodiment of that in what we've read in verse 1 of chapter 5. He sits down on a mountainside. He's surrounded by 12 disciples who are representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Although this is the new Israel, the new people of God. And around them are the crowd listening in, just I guess as we are 2,000 years later. And Jesus begins his teaching about this kingdom of God that's come near, that's so exciting, that's been so long awaited, that's light in the darkness. And he begins it with this statement of eight beatitudes, they're called. Beautiful attitudes is a way of thinking about them. The world around us has its way of working. It has its culture. It does things in a certain way. Jesus brings light into that world and calls you and me to be different, to come and belong to his kingdom and to live it differently, to have a different attitude as part of that kingdom. So eight beautiful attitudes, two sections. The first four are roughly our attitude to God, and the next four are our attitude to other people. So let's look at the first one. Verse 3, blessed, fortunate are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's think about that. Being poor in spirit, it is being bankrupt. It's realizing there's not just a recession around me, but it's in me. And all the things I was banking on, well, no, they're actually not worth anything. Whatever money I've got in my pocket, I'm actually spiritually without resources when I stand before God. I've run up, in fact, a massive debt. I haven't kept God's standards. I'm not holy like he is. I can never pay. That's someone who is poor in spirit. The opposite, of course, is being proud in spirit, thinking, yeah, I'm a good person. I'm all right. Everyone thinks I'm good, God should as well, and if he doesn't, that's his problem, not mine. That's being proud in spirit. And over and over and over, as we read in the Old Testament, the story of the people of Israel, and they are described as stiff-necked, which is nothing to do with them needing to see the physio. It's to do with their heart attitude, where they would not bow before God and repent of their sin. Stiff-necked, and we can you, yeah, I that helps me to see how I am sometimes inside. No, that's being proud in spirit. And Jesus says, no, we need to be poor in spirit, to humble ourselves before God, to come before him. The Israelites wouldn't even humble themselves when their nation was falling apart at the seams. We need to do that, to come before God with a poor spirit, because God promises to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the spirit of the contrite. That's the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So which is it for you, for me? Poor in spirit, humble, or proud in spirit? When Dr. Bernardo first opened his first home in London, he said there is one condition of coming into this home. The condition of eligibility is destitution. And it's the same for the kingdom of God, for you, for me. To recognize our spiritual poverty, our spiritual destitution. The kingdom of heaven, it's open to paupers like me. Like all of us, if we see things the way God sees things. And so we come to him in our helplessness and receive his grace and favour. If we'll just admit it, then there is great news to the spiritually poor belongs the kingdom of heaven. In the words of another old hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress, helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain, fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's not primarily talking about grief when someone passes, although, yeah. It's talking about a grief that's more common, that's more day-to-day for us. It's grief over sin that it's talking about. Blessed are we when we see the sin in our lives and we say, oh no, it's still there. When we're unhappy about the sin in our lives and in our city and in our country, And we say, oh no, we want to get beyond that. When we mourn over it instead of glossing over it, instead of laughing it off or styling it out and hoping to get away with it. In the words of the confession in the old service, it is to acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness. That's this attitude of heart that is mourns for sin. And then, says Jesus, you'll be comforted by a God who sent Jesus into the world as light for the world, as the Saviour for the world, as hope and help for sinners. Blessed are the meek, verse 5. That's the next attitude God looks for. Meekness, not weakness. It's not the gag, the meek will inherit the earth, as long as that's all right with everybody else. It's not that. Meekness is having a true view of yourself. It's seeing yourself, warts and all, admitting it before God, and so not hiding. Not hiding behind a persona or behind a social media profile. Accepting who you are, accepting who other people are, and so not feeling that you have to grasp and grab and have, but rather saying, okay, I'm in God's hands. I'm going to wait for him to give me what I need. And Jesus says, God will give those people the earth, or at least your fair share of it. There is a future inheritance which is so wonderful as part of his kingdom forever, for all who come before God and just be meek. And the final attitude towards God here is a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, an intense longing, something we can't live without, like we can't live without food and water. I wonder what that is for you. What do you pursue? What do you hunger for? What do your dreams go to? Where does your imagination run wild? Perhaps it's the idea of feeling safe at the moment, or perhaps it's just feeling good. That's what we crave in our lives, or the latest thrill, the latest gadget, maybe we hope that'll deliver it. Or just that feeling that as we look back at the end of our life, we want to feel we've achieved something. We've been a good parent or a good grandparent, or we've been successful in some other way. Those are things that many of us hunger and thirst for, some of the time, all of the time. But let's be honest, do those things ever fill us? Do they ever fully satisfy? I'm asking that question rhetorically, assuming the answer is no, they don't, do they? Jesus says, blessed are we, happy are we, lucky are we, fortunate, favoured by God, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness because Jesus comes into the world bringing that. Because if we're craving for things to be right between us and God and right between us and the people around us, Jesus brings that, both now and then forever. So I wonder whether that's our hunger, our ambition. Do we want things to be right in this church, in this community we live in our country, in our world? Jesus promises if both for private and public righteousness we're hungering and thirsting, then we will be filled. Although the question is when, because obviously there's many problems in the world, and not just in the world, but in us and in the church. And well, there is a now and a not yet to his kingdom, and we'll think more about this. This talks about inheritance, doesn't it? So it highlights the fact that some of these promises from Jesus are future. It's when he returns and makes everything right, when he brings the new heaven, the new earth, and makes everything right, the home of righteousness, it's described, the future. But, you see, because he brings peace between people and God, and so between people and other people, we taste it now. Because he gives his Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in him, we taste the future now, this righteousness, this rightness with God. Jesus describes the Spirit as like streams of water flowing from within, that actually we taste now what we will one day know fully. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled, says Jesus Christ. That's the first four. Let's pause at the halfway point and ask, how is my attitude to God? How is your attitude to God on those four measures? Are you seeking him in that kind of a way, hungering and thirsting for him, for righteousness, and so receiving, as you put your faith in Jesus, the comfort that he wants you to have, the presence of His Holy Spirit in your life. That's what Jesus is talking about this morning. The second half, the second four of these eight Beatitudes, they're the outworking. They're kind of about how we relate to other people. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It's linked, isn't it? Being merciful in our lives is linked here to receiving mercy from God. It's not saying we work, you know, if I show enough mercy, you know, just a bit more and then God will be merciful. It's not that. It's the other way around. It's an outworking. Because I've come to God and I've come to God and I've said, listen, I am poor in spirit. I'm mourning. I'm grieving over my sin. I really need you. I need your comfort. I need your forgiveness. And God says, that's why I sent Jesus into the world. Receive it. And I receive His mercy. How can I not pass that on to people around me, whatever that costs me? Just like in the Lord's Prayer, you remember we prayed it just a minute ago? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. The two are linked. They just can't be separated. When we, verse 7, realize how merciful God has been to us, we will show mercy to others. We'll forgive as we've been forgiven. It's a virtuous circle. A virtuous circle because as we give out mercy and forgiveness, God will fill us afresh with the mercy and forgiveness that we need. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, verse 8. The world around us puts so much emphasis on outward appearance. There's been a little bit less in lockdown because it's been great just to sort of slouch around in a pair of trainers and a bit of sports kit, hasn't it? But, a few months' time, it'll be the new look. And according to the newspaper, I realise there are looks that you're supposed to have even now in lockdown. So much appearance on the outward. The world celebrates good looks, great clothes. God looks at the heart. We know that. But actually, that's good news in some ways. Because it means however we look on the outside, you may be good looking and glamorous. Brilliant. Good for you. You may not be much of an oil painting. But God sees your heart. And God looks, and He looks for that desire to know Him. He says, will you in your heart turn away from everything you know that's wrong, and will you seek purity in your relationship with Him and relationships with each other? Will you pray what David prayed in his sin, in Psalm 51? He cried out to God and he prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. If you're that kind of person, then you will know God through Jesus Christ. That's the promise here. And one day, you'll see Him face to face. Because Jesus will make you pure enough for you to be able to do that. Now, you can't see my heart, I can't see yours. That's invisible. Practical sign of it, the seventh one, verse 9. Do you know God? Do I know God? Verse 9. Are you a peacemaker? You see, God is. And so, if you or if I am His child, you'll be a peacemaker. I'll be a peacemaker. God, when the human race went against Him, when we made ourselves His enemy, what did He do? He sent His own beloved Son into the world to die for our sins, to make peace by His blood shed on the cross. There is no cheap peace, no cheap grace, no cheap forgiveness. It costs, it always costs. And God paid for you and me in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we've received that, if we know that, we know the Father, we know the Son, then we will be like them. We will be peacemakers and children of our Father in heaven. So what that means in our lives, it will mean speaking peace, passing on the gospel of forgiveness, being at peace with other people around us, not holding grudges, forgiving people, apologizing as soon as we know there's a problem, doing whatever we can to take the heat out of situations, to help other people to get on with each other, even when we're the one who gets the kind of the heat instead. You see, that's what knowing God brings in our lives, because God acts like that, so we will be children of our Father in heaven. And it may be this morning, it's towards the start of a new year, we've been doing some reviewing, it may be there are people you just think, yeah, we need to sort that out. I need to forgive and show mercy, whether they respond or not, because that's what my Father in heaven does. Let's be children of our Father, and let's make peace. And finally, the final thing Jesus highlights, he really highlights it with three verses rather than one in Matthew. If we live and speak for Jesus, what can we expect? People to persecute, push back. Verse 11, to falsely say all kinds of evil things against you, accusing you, because you're a Christian, of intolerance, bigotry, homophobia, sexism, fundamentalism, and all manner of other things. That's what Jesus says to expect. But persevere. It's always been like that. It was for Jesus. It was for the first followers. It has been and will be until he returns and makes everything right. Why do we persevere? How can we persevere? Because we recognize how blessed and fortunate we are if we're members of his kingdom. And that Jesus will more than make it up in the future, but also now by the presence of the Holy Spirit comforting us and enabling us to continue. As I said at the beginning, often we think of fortunate people, if we think in the terms that the world values, as, well, that's the rich, the beautiful, the popular, and all the rest of it. And if we think in the world's terms only, then we'll think, well, the fortunate people are, well, it's someone else, isn't it? It's not me. The fortunate people are the people I read about in the magazines. It's not me. But do you see? If we look at the world and look at ourselves the way Jesus teaches here, are you poor in spirit? Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You are blessed, fortunate, favored by God. Do you mourn over your sin? You will be comforted by your God and Saviour. Are you meek, accepting what God says about you and what God gives to you? You will inherit the earth. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? You will be filled. As you seek God, you will find him now. There is that eternal future, but also in the now, how much more will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And if we, his people, actually are his people, in that way, it will overflow in our lives, in mercy, in purity of heart, in peacemaking, even when that brings insults and persecution. Because we know the privilege of being the children of God now and forever. Amen. Let's just take a moment to pause, to take some of that in, to maybe think about one of those things. Which one for you this morning is the one Jesus really wants you to hear afresh, to believe afresh, to receive afresh?